Good. Well, this morning I get the privilege of kind of kicking off a new series for the month of July. All of you are checking your phones to silence them now. I see. That's awesome. But we're going to be kicking off a new series for the month of July, really, where myself and some of our other team of teachers here at New Heart are going to be sharing maybe a favorite verse or something that God has spoken to us about in this last season that's really been impactful. And so this is a great opportunity for us just to grow together, just to hear what the Lord is speaking from His Word. And this morning I get to start that off with something that the Lord has been speaking to me about quite a bit in this last season. I've been ruminating and kind of marinating in it for a season, and I want to share it with you. And the title of my message, if you have your note sheets this morning, is called The Rest of Jesus. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today. Now, they say that for a German shepherd, the hardest trick to teach a German shepherd is to sit. That it's no problem at all to teach them to run or to fetch or to bite or to protect their pack or others, because those are all things that are within the realm of normal things for a German shepherd to do. But to teach a German shepherd to sit is the most difficult thing, because it's something that the German shepherd don't like to do. He wants to run. He wants to pursue. And like those great dogs, I believe that many of us can relate. Because I think to many of us, we don't like the idea of sitting. Now, all of you are sitting down right now. I'm not saying you have to stand up, okay? We've got nice seats for you to sit on. But I think many of us can understand that, because we find that the process of waiting, of sitting, of not being an active participant in something is kind of difficult, isn't it? We want to get up and we want to go. We want to do things. See, this is one of the expressions we say, and it's, we see it all the time. Someone will ask, hey, how are you doing? Life's busy, right? Isn't that like the thing we like to say? I'm so busy, so tired. I'm so busy, I'm so tired. I've got so much to do around the house. I've got so much to do at work. I'm overwhelmed. This is a common saying for us. And after following Jesus Christ for the majority of my adult lifetime, I've come to a conclusion. And the conclusion that is that I have a sitting problem. I don't want to sit down. In fact, for a season, I even had a stool up here, and sometimes I would sit during the message. I didn't even have it. I just thought about that just now. But I have a sitting problem. I don't want to sit down. I would rather do something for God. I would rather do something than sitting down. See, I want to accept the love of God. I'm just going to confess to you right now, one of the areas of my struggles. I want to accept the love of God, but I have difficulty accepting the grace of God. And if I'm honest with myself, sometimes I have a problem just sitting and receiving from God, because I have a problem accepting those things. Now, I have no problem intellectually believing in the grace of God, believing that God loves me, that He loves me no matter what. Just as we talked about in our time of worship, that the God who made heaven and earth, He thinks about me, He cares about my needs, even those unspoken things in my life that I'm struggling with. I have no problem understanding and believing that God is higher than me and that His ways are higher than mine. But if I boil it down, oftentimes I don't believe fully that His grace is sufficient for me. If I admit it to myself, sometimes I don't believe that. Just as the Apostle Paul was reminded by God Himself, I believe the Lord reminds me often of 2 Corinthians 12:9 that says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. But I don't like weakness. You know what I mean? I don't like weakness. As a man especially, I want to be strong. I want to fix things. I don't want to be weak. But the posture of a follower of Jesus is a posture that says, God, your grace is sufficient for me. And that's one that I think sometimes we struggle with. And I think that Jesus knew that we might struggle with this, because He talked about it quite often. He talked about this idea that we do have a sitting problem. This is the Gospel of Matthew. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to have you turn to Matthew chapter 11. You can turn there in your Bible app as well if you've got your phone or tablet. But the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus says that sitting is the key to discovering something. And Matthew 11, 28 through 30 says this. Many of you have heard it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Can I get an amen to that? Of first importance in this scripture of what Jesus invites us to is this idea that Jesus invites us to come. Turn to the person next to you and say, come. Jesus invites us to come. Each one of us, he invites us. He says, come to me. Don't go looking elsewhere. Don't go looking to other places when you're weary, when you're tired. Jesus says, come to me. Come to me when you're weary. Come to me when you're overwhelmed. Come to me when your life is too busy. But Jesus doesn't play hide and seek. He's not playing a game with us. He's not telling us to search for him and then he hides. No, he beckons to all of us, to the broken masses of humanity trying to do life without God. And he says, come. He invites us into this relationship. See, we can walk through this journey of life without God, but we'll be missing something. We will be incomplete because we were designed to be with God. And Jesus invites us to come to be with him. See, the Bible tells us that we are made in the Imago Dei. Genesis records that we are made in the image of God, the Imago Dei, the image and likeness of God. And we have been designed for intimacy and closeness with God. We are designed to know and be known by our Creator, by our Maker, by God, our Heavenly Father. See, Jesus knew that there were people throughout creation who tried to live life without God. And life without God is tiring. Life without God is overwhelming. Life without God can be hopeless as we see the brokenness of our world, marred by sin, marred by death, marred by destruction. It can be overwhelming to us, but Jesus was reminding us that we weren't meant to live that sort of life, that we were designed for intimacy with God. That's why he says, come to me. Come to me. See, we try and find fulfillment apart from God, don't we? We try and look for it in hobbies and sports. We try and look for it even in our national identity. We can wrap our hope in that. But none of those things were meant to replace the close and abiding relationship that God has for us. Oh, we should have relationships. We should care for our city and for our state and for our nation. We should care for our brothers and sisters around the world. But none of that was meant to replace the closeness with God. See, Jesus calls us to come to him. And secondly, he calls all of us. He calls to you. He calls to your neighbor. He calls to your siblings and your relatives, even your crazy uncles. He calls to all of us. He says, come to me, those who are heavy laden, those who are tired, those who are overworked, those who are difficult. I'm just be honest with you. This season of time in many of our lives, I don't know what it is about as we get into summer, but some of us seem to be running out of steam as we approach summer, don't we? We're just waiting for a vacation. We're waiting to stop. We're waiting to escape. And I believe this is a word that the Lord would speak to us. When we're tired and we're broken, what we need is not retreat, but we need to advance into the arms of God. What we need is not to run away from our problem, but what we need to do is to pursue our Savior, our God. He says, come to me when you're weary, when you're tired, when you're heavy laden. He's calling to all of us, whether you're doing okay today or maybe you're not, he calls to all of us. But often we get this idea in our mind, I don't know where it comes from. I think it comes from overly religious people, if I can just be honest with you. But we get this idea that God only wants perfect people, that I can't come to God if I'm still messed up, if I've still got wrong thoughts, if I've made mistakes. And I don't know where this idea comes from. Well, I do know where it comes from. It comes from the enemy of our souls. See, because God has said, I want you to come to me when you're weary, when you're tired. I don't know about you, but I'm not happy when I'm tired. Are you? I'm not nice when I'm heavy laden. Are you? Don't look at your spouse. Don't kick them in the shin. No, when we're tired, when we're heavy laden, man, we're grumpy. Man, we're annoying to be around. Wife say amen. Cranky, right? Some of you get hangry, and some of you just, the weather gets hot and you get hot-gry. That's my new word. I get hot. When I'm hot, man, I get angry. I don't know what it is. Amen for that, right? Thank you, Lord, for air conditioning. But God isn't looking for people that are good or even mostly good. He's looking for the weary. He's looking for us to come even when our stuff isn't together. Even when we are hot and angry. Even when we're hungry and angry. Even when we're overworked and stressed out and overbooked in life. He says, when you're weary and heavy laden, come to me. See, Jesus declares that he is the one that wants to be our rescuer. He is the one that can do that. In one of the most audacious and bold proclamations of his entire ministry, Jesus tells us that he's the only way. John 14:6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. So there's no other way to get to the Father. There's not many ways. There's one way, and Jesus is the way. He doesn't leave any wiggle room on that model. We can't work our way to God. And I find it so timely, as our last series was called Make a Difference, about how we can use our lives to make a difference in the world around us, that we be reminded of this simple truth that nothing we do will make God love us more. That none of our good works or the things that we're trying to do to love our neighbors or love our city or love our world, none of those things make God love us more, and nothing we do wrong will make him love us less. We just got to sit down. We just got to rest and find the rest of Jesus. See, we are saved by faith in what Jesus did. The Bible tells us over and over again that there's no way that we can be saved by our works, but we're saved by our faith. See, Jesus says, come to me when you're heavy, when you're weary and heavy laden. And then he makes us this promise, if you'll come to God in those seasons, what does he say? He says, I will give you rest. Come on now, some of us just need some rest. Now, we don't need a vacation to find rest. We need to come to God because Jesus and he alone is the one that promises to give us rest. He says, if you're tired and weary, yeah, you might need to go to Acapulco, but I think you need to come to Jesus first because he's the one that's going to give you rest, because you can go on vacation and not be rested. You know what I mean? You ever have one of those? You come back from vacation, you're like, I need a vacation. I need to sleep for a week after that. But Jesus says, I will give you rest. I'm convinced that many of us experience only a glimpse of Jesus. That we don't understand the fullness of what Jesus has done for us and wants to do in us. That we only experience a glimpse of the good news of what he's done. See, we know of Jesus, the Savior. We know that. We got our get out of hell free card, our fire insurance, some people like to call it, right? I trusted in Jesus for my salvation. But Jesus says, I want you to come to me when you're weary, when you're heavy laden, so I can give you rest. Yes, sir. See, the rest of Jesus is all about that. We've got to discover that God wants us to have rest, to have a healthy rhythm of rest. Let me just tell you how this hits me personally. Can I confess to you? This is a hard truth for me to fully grasp. Because I like to run. I'm a German Shepherd. I'm not a poodle or some other lap dog that wants to sit. I want to run. I'm calling myself a dog. I don't know what I'm doing. But I want to go and do for Jesus, not come to him and rest. And oftentimes, I want to get up and show God how great I can be for him. I want to beat my chest and say, God, look what I did. I made fire, right? I got that caveman. Fire, God, I made fire for you, right? I want to show God what I can do for him. But Jesus' offer is simple. He says, come to me, and I'll give you rest. Amen. Amen. Some of us need some rest today. See, Jesus wants us to rest in the work that he's already accomplished. As we celebrate our freedoms this week as a nation, that God has blessed this nation as to be a land of freedom, of religious freedom, and all sorts of other freedoms. We thank God for that freedom and for the brave men and women who have fought and died to give us those freedoms. But we also remember the one man who died on the cross to give us eternal freedom. The one who gave us a freedom that sets us free, not just from physical captivity, but from spiritual bondage. The one who wants to set us free and give us life, and not just life, but Jesus says in John 10:10 that he came to bring us life abundantly. Amen. That's what God wants to do. See, God says, I want you to come and learn. I want you to come and sit and be set free from having to try and prove yourself to me and to others. See, Jesus says, I want you to learn to live this life in a way that's unshackled, that's unburdened, that's unencumbered with all the guiltiness and the weightiness of our sin and all the weightiness of our own striving, that we can live a life that's not heavy, but is light. See, Jesus wants us to live that sort of life. I want to give you three quick practical steps. You're like, three steps? Man, we got to slam through it. I want to give you three steps on how we can discover the rest of Jesus in our practical lives, especially as we enter into summer. And man, we're in summer, aren't we? Feel the heat wave coming. But I want to give you three steps. And the first is this. Are you ready? Say it with me. Sit. Turn to the person next to you and say, sit. Oh, you guys are all doing it. Good job. And then in parentheses, I wrote the word Sabbath. See, the Bible talks about us having Sabbath. You and I have got to create regular rhythms of rest in our lives. Regular rhythms of stopping. Because the very first part of Jesus' command, he says, I want you to come. I got to come to God. We've got to draw near to God himself and seek for him and search him out. He says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden. But we don't want to sit, do we? We don't like to sit down. Have you ever found yourself saying this to someone? I've had to say this a couple times this week, so I'm confessing to you. I would rest, but I got too much to do. You ever say that to someone? I would sit down, but there's so much to take care of. There's laundry to do, and there's weeds in the backyard, and there's a pile of paperwork on my desk, and bills to pay. I would rest, but dot, dot, dot. We all go through seasons like that, don't we? Seasons that are a little more overwhelming, where we discover, as some people say, you know, I've got a plate, it's only so big, and sometimes my plate's too full. You ever hear that expression? Sometimes we feel like, man, the food's falling off our plate because we don't got any more room. We've got seasons like that. If you've got little ones running around, you're in a season like that where it's overwhelming. But if we're not careful, we can allow those feelings of heaviness, of burden to overtake us. Here's something that I've learned in the middle of all that. Having four small, soon to be five small children running around, my life is pretty chaotic. Something I've learned along the way is that if I don't take time to sit and rest at the feet of Jesus every single day, then my life is chaotic even more. It goes up a notch. You know what I mean? It goes up to another level of crazy. But if, on the other hand, I will take time to stop and sit and be with God and rest in the middle of my chaos, what I find is something amazing, that just as God calls us to rest on that seventh day, to Sabbath, to not work every single day, there's something amazing happens. That when I will intentionally, daily, in a rhythm, a normal rhythm of my life, stop and rest, what I find is that I don't waste time. I don't waste an hour spending with Jesus or resting or doing it something else. What I find is that I'm more productive. What I find is I get more done with the rest of those hours as a result of that rest. And I find the same is true on my Sabbath when I rest one day a week. God can do more with 6 days than you can do with seven. Yes, sir. He just can. And there's something that I've learned that if we will do that, man, it will change things. But it only works if we're really resting. You know what I mean? Some of us will say, man, I'm taking a Sabbath, so I'm going to go mow the lawn and chop some firewood and you know, I'm going to do all this work around the house that I've been waiting to do, but we've got to make time for rest. It's important. God devoted one of the Ten Commandments to taking our Sabbath. He said that's important to us that we do those things. Much of the Old Testament, much of what Jesus talks about is resting. But it only happens if we're actually doing it. You know that you can have quiet time and not spend much time with God. You ever have one of those times? What happened, man? Your life's so busy, you sit down and you turn the music off and you turn the noise off and you go somewhere quiet. You sit down and you think, oh, I forgot to pay the water bill. Right? You're like, oh, I got to call so-and-so. I meant to call her last week. I was supposed to call her back. I forgot to. I'm such a bad friend. And then we go all over the place. Something I learned a long time ago is whenever I go to those quiet times of rest, man, I bring something with me. I bring a notebook. I bring a pad of paper because those thoughts come and they try and chase me away from being with God, from resting. And so, man, I just got to say, oh, yeah, I do got to call Sally back. Write it down. Done. I don't have to think about it until I'm done. But we've got to do those things. There's a phrase I've been trying to internalize, sage wisdom I've heard that I'm stealing, and it's this phrase, this idea that we divert daily, that we withdraw weekly, and we abandon annually. And if there's something powerful to that rhythm of rest in our lives, if we will daily divert our time, that means every single day we find something fun to do, something that we can enjoy. Better yet, as I shared during our marriage series, find something you can do with your spouse or with your kids, something that's going to fill up your tank, not drain you. Maybe it's playing a game of tennis. Maybe it's going for a walk, or maybe you want to do a daily round of golf, George. I don't know. Why not, right? Why not? But something that you can refuel your tank with each and every day. And daily devotions or time with Jesus, that's part of that. But that's not the whole package. Sometimes we've got to, maybe you're a reader. I'm looking at you, Michelle, wherever you're at. You got to find a book to read. Find time and space to do those things. Go for a walk. Lay in a hammock. Can I get an amen for that last one? Find something to refuel your tank every single day. And withdraw weekly. That you do take that Sabbath of rest, that you do intentionally spend time where you're unplugged from the office, where you're disconnected from your jobs. Again, if you've got small children or you're in a chaotic season, this gets even more challenging. I can go on vacation with my kids and still be tired. Come on. But it's got to be an intentional practice. You've got to discover what that looks like for you. Withdraw weekly. And finally, abandon annually. Again, we can have vacations and still not find rest. But you've got to take time each year to abandon the worries, abandon those things, to do just what this passage said, and draw to Jesus when we're weary. We've been carrying some stuff from the past year, some wounds, some baggage, some things. And surrender those things to God. Do what Jesus said, come to me when you're weary and heavy laden, that he might give you rest. So do those things. You've got to create that regular rhythm. Secondly, we've got to, as we draw near to God and sit, we've got to listen. Spend daily time listening to God. There's something powerful and profound that will happen in our relationship with God when we will open up the Bible and listen to his voice. Listen to what he's speaking to us about. That's the very best thing you can do to your walk with God, is to spend time, carve time out of your calendar to be with Jesus and to listen to his voice. And I'll make you a promise that if you'll spend 30 minutes a day opening God's word, he'll speak to you in profound ways. I'll tell you time and time again through the years as I've gone through reading programs and things, man, God has spoken to me powerfully. And I'll just say, I didn't say a chapter a day keeps the devil away. I didn't say anything like that. What did I say? I said, you got to get into the word. Open up the Bible and allow God's word to get into you. Come to God's word with an open heart and say, Lord, would you speak to me this morning through your word? Long ago, I read Psalm 119, verse 18, and it stuck with me. It's become my prayer just about every time I open my word. In fact, many of my Bibles, I've written it by hand on the front page of my Bible so that I can be reminded of this truth. And I'll pray this prayer. I'll say, open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law. See, because the Bible declares of itself that it's living and active, and God wants to speak to us through his word. And as a church, I've asked us to do a read through the Bible program every year that I've been here at New Heart, and this year's been no exception. If you've not done it, there's a description on there. I don't know if that link works or not yet, but we'll make it work. But it's called the Life Journal Reading Plan. We've got printed copies for you analog people, and if you're an app person, you can subscribe to it. But we've been reading through the Bible, and it's been put together. It's put together by Wayne Cordero, another Foursquare pastor. And it's a great plan, but all it is just railroad tracks. to lead you on what to read for a specific day. But what's most impactful to me is how this plan that's been put together and printed for a couple years, it's been out there. I'll open up the pages of Scripture, and I'll ask God, I'll pray that prayer. I'll say, God, would you show me what you want me to see? Would you let me hear what you want to say to me today? And what's amazing is I come to God's living and active Word. Each day I'm going through something else, something different's happening in my boy's life and in my marriage or in my own life or something else that's going on. I'm like, God, I just need some answers for this. And boom, God speaks to me. He speaks to me every single day that I open up His Word and come to Him. And that's what's amazing is that this book is meant to be our daily bread. The Bible is meant to be our daily bread. What I love about Jesus is that He reminds us of the simple things. See, not one of us would go a whole day without eating on purpose. Am I right? Unless you're on some crazy fad diet and then we'll pray for you. Right? None of us would go a single day without eating physical food, but so very often we go many, many days without feeding our souls. Jesus said this in Matthew 4:4. He says, the scriptures say, people do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. See, God wants to feed us spiritually, to nourish us, to nourish our souls. But to do that, we've got to make time to listen to Him. And finally, we've got to receive. We've got to sit, we've got to listen, and then we've got to receive from God. I believe often we have not because we ask not. See, the hardest work for a German shepherd to do is to sit, and that's my problem. I don't want to sit with God long enough to listen, and I don't listen long enough for me to receive from Him what He wants to say to me. But we can't do anything to earn God's love or His approval. Well, all we can do is receive it. See, Jesus says, come to me. He doesn't say figure out your problems, fix yourself, and then come to me. He says, come to me. Right? He says, come to me when you're heavy laden, when you're weary, when you're tired, when you're exhausted. Come and hear my words and then receive what I have for you. See, we can't earn anything from God, but what I love about these words, we come. Jesus says, come to me. He doesn't say, go over there. Right? He doesn't say, go to that place. He says, come to me. Hear my words. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I want to lighten your load. What I love about Jesus is those words are so intimate. They're so relational. And I think sometimes we miss the simplicity of what Jesus is calling us to. See, when He made His disciples, He said, come follow me. And what He says here is, hey, when you're heavy, when you're burdened, don't go over there. Come to me. Come to me that I might give you a light load. See, sometimes we cannot hear until we stop talking. And we can't stop trying until we will come and sit at His feet. See, we miss this. I miss this more than I care to admit. I want to earn God's grace. I want to have it all figured out. But sometimes the most powerful posture I can take is the posture of sitting. See, when I think of a powerful posture, I think of some man with a giant two-handed sword on top of a mountain, right? Like, ah! But the most powerful posture we can take is just sitting. Sitting at the feet of our Savior. He says, come to me when you're weary. You don't gotta fake it till you make it. You don't gotta pretend like you got it all together. He says, come to me when you're tired. The most powerful posture I can take is the posture of sitting down. And sometimes the most powerful statement I can make is to simply close my mouth and listen. Open God's word and listen. Say, God, what do you want to speak to me about? And sometimes the most effective way I can get from God is not to try and grasp for it or climb to get it, but simply to sit back and to receive it from God. See, Jesus doesn't say you got to work it. He says, come to me and I'll give you rest. And that's, I believe, the word that the Lord would speak to us. He'd remind to us that some of us, we need to come to God. Maybe you come to God a long time ago. Maybe you're already walking with God, but you need that fresh reminder. Come back to Jesus. You're tempted to go over here or go over there or escape on vacation or escape to this or to that. Jesus says, come to me. You don't got to turn to those things. and then sit down. Sit at my table. See, the invitation of Jesus is that we would come and dine with him. That's a relationship language. That's not religious language. We can all understand that. And he says, if you'll open your ears and listen, you'll receive what I have for you. And it's then and only then that we'll discover the rest of Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes as we conclude our time?